With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod, Season 3, Episode 7. Lovely to have you with us. Howell and Jamie here from the north of England. And as usual, reminding you to share this podcast with people. If you like it, share it. But please, we're begging, can we ask any more? I mean, please share it. And don't forget that our favourite email, for whatever reason, it might just be you emailing us in just two words, could win you an entire season box set of the of Entourage. Every season in one box set. It could be yours if you send us an email, studio@theboxsetpod.com. Any subject that we talk about or a whole new subject, ask us for a recommendation.
Yes.
That's the whole point of this podcast.
Do yourself a favour.
Well, on this podcast today, we're going to have the latest TV box set news, and we're going to get Fife Dangerfield to join us. He's not joined us for a while. He's been busy, and he's got big personal news. It's going to be quite a personal one, this, but we're going to find out what it's like. I want to talk about how box sets reflect your life, how they help you through certain moments in your life.
Should we do some box set news?
Yeah, all right. Let's do it.
First of all, let's just talk a little bit about what we've been watching this week. I watched the finale of the Channel 4 TV show Humans, which has been very, very good. It's been recommissioned for a second
series. My sister's
been
going on about that.
Does she like it?
Yes.
It's really good. It's it seems like a very, like, cliche, futuristic kind of topic, you know, synth human beings. But it's actually really well done.
Synth human beings.
Yeah, it's like, you know, are synth, you know, it's a world where robots. Are working with human beings, and that line is crossed between whether it's, you know, ethically right. But it's really good and really, like, set in a normal world, really good actors in it, and the finale was excellent. Some really emotional moments in it. I do recommend it, Humans.
Do you recommend it above... let me give you some. And if you haven't watched this, should I watch that instead? So if you haven't watched West Wing, should you watch it instead?
Oh, that's hard because... West Wing is a complete...
Yes or no?
Package.
I haven't watched West Wing. Should I watch... Which one should I watch first?
Well, you should watch West Wing first.
Okay, obviously. Sopranos.
Sopranos first, of course you should.
Okay, this is
House of Cards, yes, you should watch that. I mean, okay. It's hard because those things are...
Quantum Leap,
well, that's a close one. I think if you're looking for something refreshing,
Quantum
different,
Leap.
And new...
Quantum Leap.
Not old.
Quantum Leap?
It's old, Howell. They should remake Quantum Leap, though.
No, they should.
Well, they keep Scott Bakula. It's like, yeah, he can still be leaping through time, like an old man version of Sam Beckett. It's really, really... off. But yeah, it's a really good show, Howell. Humans, I recommend it. It's fun to watch, and it's just finished. And Channel 4 doing a great job.
Why is it fun?
It's fun because it's just an interesting idea.
That's not... Interesting doesn't make me go and put it on.
What? Well, it's compelling. It's like a thriller in some ways, but it's also quite emotional. Takes a bit.
What sort of pace are we talking? Are we closer to Mad Men or are we closer to Chuck?
I'd say it's probably medium pace, not as fast as Chuck, definitely not as fast as Chuck, but it's not as slow as Mad Men episodes.
Is it mainstream TV?
Definitely mainstream, yes.
Right, yeah. Okay.
I'd recommend it.
I'm not pushed towards...
It's based on a Swedish version of the show, actually, a Swedish show. Anyway, that's what I've been watching.
Is it? Why don't I watch the Swedish one then?
Well, I was thinking of might watch it myself if I can find it. I've had a look on Netflix. It's not there.
So was the problem with The Killing. I watched a few episodes of The Killing.
Shit, it's The Killing.
The American version I watched.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we sort of gave up. We got busy doing other things. And And then there was all this thing about, oh, the Swedish one's better. But I was like, oh, I can't be bothered watching the first few of the Swedish one as well. So I just didn't bother with it either.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Like,
they shouldn't bother remaking, should they?
The Killing was remade. The Bridge has been remade in the American version as well. I just feel like...
The Returned, they've now remade.
The Return. I mean, it's whatever version you start watching is always going to be the one that is the Bible to you, isn't it?
What's amazing is we talked about it on our radio show once about subtitles, and it's amazing the number of people
who hate subtitles,
hate them, just will not watch something with subtitles.
Well, I'll tell you this,
it seems like such a 4-year-old opinion.
But you know what? Sometimes you have to be in the mood to be ready to, like, okay, I've got to actually read the screen. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I'm fine with subtitles, but there are days when I think, you know what, I'm not going to watch this because I need to actually focus a lot more.
And also, I think times have changed. People watch TV now with other things in their hand, with their phone, with the computer, iPads.
You can't always afford to be giving your eyeballs to...
But you should. You should.
In a way, yeah, you're right. You should.
I recommended a friend of mine was really ill and she needed some recommendations. And so I knew she'd love Kimmy Schmidt, so I told her to watch Kimmy Schmidt. And true enough, she loved it and watched the whole thing. Then she was like, I said, have you watched Mad Men? Because it's one that's quite good if you're ill, I suppose, you know, slow running things.
Yeah.
And she said, I've tried before, but I'll get back on it. And I realised I had to advise her. I was like, you will not enjoy this show if you are also on the computer. You've got to give it your attention. Yeah, you've got to enter the world.
Yeah. Mad Men, you can't be distracted. The Wire, you can't be distracted when you're watching something like that.
Yeah, because then it just is background noise. I'm sorry, but it's so slow-paced that you can very easily treat these things as wallpaper. And as wallpaper, a fairly miserable wallpaper.
Yeah.
Whereas if you invest in it, the drama is subtle, so you've got to be invested in it.
If you love Kimmy Schmidt, Howard, you should be watching 30 Rock. That should be your next step.
Yeah, okay.
And that's another good email if you've got anything you want to talk about. Stepping stones. What shows are stepping stones to other shows?
Yeah, that's a good question. studio@theboxsetpod.com.
Let's have a look at the news then. So first of all...
Oh, have we not started the news?
No, theboxsetpod.com/news. That's where I deliver the news. And there's talk on the internet. In fact, the writer himself has mentioned of a Downton Abbey the movie.
Oh, yes. They're bound to, aren't they?
The final season's about to start. It'll be starting, I think, in September time in the UK.
That cash cow is going to come home with a lot of milk.
It feels like... Yeah, you're right, Howard. It's been milked to death. It's gone through its peak days where it was getting 13 million viewers an episode on a Sunday night on ITV. These days, the last series lost a lot of momentum. It didn't feel like it was going anywhere. It really sort of... It was like trudging through mud.
Do you know what the figures were for the last one?
They were still high. You know, they're still going to be about 8 million.
That's a lot.
But they're not. It's not got the same... You know, it's not got the same momentum behind it. It felt like it was dragging a little bit. And in fact, it talks about making a film. The Christmas special of Downton Abbey last year was a 2-hour Christmas special.
Right.
And it was dull. It was really dull.
Yeah, you made a film.
So I don't know if that's a good idea, but Julian Fellowes has said he's considering a movie spin-off, but there are no plans in place as yet.
I'm sure he will.
I'm sure he'll work on that because he likes that world. He's already done Gosford Park. He wrote that. Tom Hardy, who played Mad Max, and he's in a new film as well about the Cray brothers. Mm-hmm. He's working on a new 19th century TV Avenger. A bit of a 19th century Batman.
Yeah.
He's basically a part-time Avenger and part-time shipping empire mogul.
Oh, nice.
And he's working on this new TV show. It'll be for the TV channel FX. And he's working with the director, Howl of the Killing, the Danish version, Christopher Nylon. And have you watched Lock, Howl?
Lock, yeah, with Tom Hardy doing a Welsh accent.
Yeah, the writer of that is also working on this TV show as well. I liked that. I thought he did a good Welsh accent as well in there.
It was all right. I mean, it was Richard Burton, wasn't it? Or Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Richard Burton type stuff. You think he's love?
I can do a really good Welsh accent. I'm not too bad at the old Welsh accent there. Am I, Howell?
You
got it quite nailed down to the T there, haven't I, Howell?
That's the best Welsh accent you've ever done.
Yeah.
Normally it's really, really bad. If you carry on for another minute...
Yeah, and if I keep going too long, I imagine I'll end up, you know, going off in a different direction accent-wise.
Cornish. Hello. I've driven all the way from Wales to Bristol.
Oh, accents are
now
funny.
Then, just on... Before
one
you get
more
back
thing.
To the news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was just about to ask you, you know, you said Julian Fellowes loves the world of Downton Abbey. Mm. I was going to say, what world do you really love? What world
you're being in?
What world would you make a series on? What about you?
I love being in a gritty film noir world.
And where's that?
Well, you know,
give
like
me a time and a place.
Well, I like films like Seven or you know, like
give me a time and a
Humphrey
place.
Bogart type okay. films. You know, like
Casablanca,
The Big Sleep, or yeah. You know, The Maltese Falcon. You know, I like being in a world where there's private dicks working on a case and there's a damsel in distress, detective. But really she's a dangerous lady.
Well, my answer is this. I watched Angelina Jolie's movie Unbroken the other day. Have you seen it?
Oh, no, I've not seen it. It's a true story, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a true story about a guy who... it's basically set in World War II.
He was in the Holocaust.
He wasn't. He was in the Japanese prison camps.
Oh, really?
And
he escaped, didn't he?
He was also in the Olympics. No, he didn't escape on a raft.
And didn't he win a marathon?
He was in the Olympics. He didn't win the Olympics. Mm. Are you paying attention? Is your phone going?
Someone's ringing me. I don't know the number though. 0151.
That's Liverpool.
Oh.
Any reason why Liverpool would be ringing you?
No.
I mean,
they,
PPI.
They didn't catch me.
Listen to me, because you've got this film all wrong.
He's in a marathon. After he gets off a raft. Jesus. And there's Angelina Jolie.
He was an Olympian. He was an Olympian at the famous Nazi Olympics, and then he was a bomber pilot, crew in World War II.
Yeah.
His plane crashes, and he ends up in Japanese prisoner of war camps.
When does he get on a raft?
I don't want to give anything away, but
we all know he gets on a raft now.
All right. Well, it's when the plane crashes.
Yeah.
And it's a phenomenal story, which
true story.
Didn't get quite as much critical acclaim as I think probably it deserved. And I think the reason is that the critics had seen all of those things happen in other films.
Yeah.
So it wasn't kind of original enough. But then you go, well, it's kind of disrespectful, because I think you should tell the story of world wars as often as possible. Keep people aware of how close we are to a nutbag taking over the world. And
it got a lot of critical acclaim, didn't
it? It did, but not quite as much as I think it should.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really enjoy war films. I enjoy looking at those worlds. I find them fascinating. I think that the time that people lived in, it's too easily romanticised by people like me, probably.
But have you watched Band of Brothers TV box set?
I watched a couple at the beginning.
You've got to watch it. You've got to get back into it. It's amazing.
Angelina Jolie story would really work as a box
TV
set.
Show.
And I think there's space for that. And I think there's space for a World War II box set. And another a book that I read in America over the summer is called The Nazi Officer's Wife. And I cannot imagine that they're not making that into a movie. They must be making it into a movie. But if they made it into a TV series, that would be brilliant as well.
Really?
Yes. So that's the world I would pick. What world would you pick if you were going to pick your own world for a TV box set?
What world do you love? Maybe you love the medieval kind of world of Game of Thrones. Maybe you love the zombie apocalypse world, because there's a new TV show. Well, it's a spin-off from The Walking Dead. It's called Fear the Walking Dead. It is going to be released, premieres end of this month. I've put the latest teaser trailer on our website. You can check that out. It's going to follow the zombie apocalypse as it begins, and the effect it has on a family as it actually begins. Because, as you know, The Walking Dead, with the original show, it doesn't really show the actual beginnings of the apocalypse in much detail. He goes into a coma, the main character, and he wakes up and he's sort of in this world, this new, brand new world. So seeing that erupt, the zombie apocalypse erupt, will be fascinating. And of course, if it does anything like the Walking Dead did, with its 16 million viewers in America on cable TV, it's going to be massive.
Massive.
It's going to be an absolute whopper. What's happening with Fife, Howell?
Nothing is happening with Fife. No word. And let's face it, he had a baby 1 week ago.
Jeez.
So I imagine his hands are full.
We can't even have a pop at him because he's got a new baby. He's got a valid excuse.
Yeah. Which brings me on to how box sets have helped you in your life. I don't know. If you're listening and you've had kids, is there something that you can watch that has got you through the early months of a new baby? Is there something that gets you through that? There's been times when we've had I watched a series of box sets that were so useful to me when we had kind of trouble at work, and I don't want to say too much, Trouble, difficult times at work.
What was it, Howell?
Just dealing with authority. Prison break.
Prison break.
Well, Dex the first, Dex. Right? That was perfect because it's
you
like...
imagine murdering your boss.
No, I didn't. But it was the idea of working somewhere and having a secret life and the work being something that was a facade, and then you could go and be your true
what
person.
What was your secret life, Howell?
I didn't really have a secret life. It was watching
Private
Dexter.
Private dancer.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching Dexter, really. And then Prison Break, again, a kind of escape thing.
I might mention this before, but helped me get through a breakup was watching Scrubs, you know. I remember
Scrubs,
when my heart
was cheerful.
Heart was broken by that one other girlfriend I had.
Yeah.
And I remember watching something about Scrubs, you know, because Zach Braff's character is always sort of love forlorn and, you know, and it was also uplifting. It was light and it just needed... I was in a dark mood. I needed some light material to lift my heavy state.
Yeah.
I always feel like mental health, I think TV, good TV shows, good films really help mental health issues.
But are we just...
maybe we're... I don't know.
I think it was Marx. I think it's a Marxist quote that he said religion is the opiate for the masses, right? The idea that if you get everyone believing in a religion, you can get them busy dealing with that. Well, there's lots of... studies that theorise that TV and entertainment is the opiate for the masses. You're so busy watching these other worlds, it lets you escape your dull, monotonous life while you're doing all these
I don't agree with
jobs
that.
And things. Yeah, but then when you go on holiday, I can happily not watch TV for the full time that I'm on holiday. And when you get back, you go, oh, God. It's particularly in Britain, it's grey. I mean, it's summer here, and it's raining, it's cloudy, it's cold. It's just horrible.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I look at watching TV series and films as, like, something I actually love doing. Like, it's not something that... It might be. Maybe it is an opiate.
But you're not living a life. You're just living other people's lives.
No, I'm living the life I want to live. I don't want to, like, constantly be away from home on holidays. I like being... I'm a home person.
You're saying you like the opium.
I like the opium. I think it tastes good. I'm going to have lots more. Come join me with a opiate bong. I like the opiate. I'm staying for the long haul. Two thumbs up from the Fonz.
We now have Fife on the phone who has just caught the end of that conversation.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Opiate bong.
Opiate bong.
We're just going to a debate about whether entertainment is opiate for the masses, whether watching box sets and stuff is just making people forget about their boring lives so that the government can manipulate them, as Karl Marx believed.
Fuck off.
Yo, Fife, that's the best answer you've ever given for anything.
Fife has got much more straightforward in his answers since having a baby. And it's a baby boy, isn't he?
A little baby boy,
Well done to you. I thought it was a girl for some reason.
Yeah, well done to you and especially your partner.
What's the name?
He's called Faden.
Faden.
It's an old Celtic... Well, in Scottish Gaelic, it means a small stream running from a moorland loch.
Ooh,
and in Irish, it means a musical, like, pipe or whistle. So.
How beautiful.
It sounds like a name from a Game of Thrones character.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous name, isn't it? It's as ridiculous as Fife or Howell. I mean, that child is now going to go through high school with Faden labelled on him. Chris Martin was talking about baby names. Someone said, you know, why do celebrities do crazy baby names? And he was like, I don't think it is anything to do with being a celebrity. I think creative people come up with creative names. And
well, the thing is, my friend Bent, when we were talking about names a while ago, said, she's quite true, probably the most revolutionary thing you could do now is call your baby John or
Sarah,
pretty much everyone I know that's had a baby, like,
yeah,
so, you know, you do seem to go for more. But I really like, I've always liked being called Fife because I've never met anyone else
with
my name, and I really wanted to try and find a name for him.
I've met Howell, and it was the weirdest thing, weird as heck. Anyway, Fife's 1 week into being a dad now, and we've been having quite a personal chat on the podcast this week, so let's continue that. What's it like having a child?
What's it like? We're not going to talk about TV at all, are we?
We'll get around to it. What's it like having a child, and what have you been watching on TV as you are sleep deprived?
Well, which bit of that do you want to answer first?
I think you should go for child first.
Child, yeah. It's amazing.
Is it?
Actually, Yeah, I had all kinds of little anxieties about it beforehand, and they've all kind of just flown away, really. Like, you know, because I think men like us, Howell, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I'm sure, you know, the idea of, like,
100%.
Being responsible for someone for the rest of your life kind of freaked me out a bit.
Yes.
But as soon as he came along, you're just like, I can't see how it could be any other way, which is amazing. It doesn't mean that you don't, you know, sometimes when we're up in the middle of the night and he won't sleep and everything, it's, you know, it's not gold dust 100% of the time, but... Oh. You know, it's...
I mean, Dad's still up and leave all over the world, Fife. I mean, you're only a week in.
A 2 week get out club.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing. It really, it just feels like one of those... I described it, it's a bit of a weird analogy and rather sounds rather trivial, but I think it's quite weirdly apt. But, you know, when you've, as a student, or I wasn't actually a student, but when you're that age and you're living with people, and at some point you make the move to getting your own flat and living alone, and once you've done that, it's sort of like you can't really imagine ever going back to living in a flat share.
Mm.
And in a weird way, it's kind of, it feels a bit like that. Like, once you have him, you can't imagine going back to not having
feel like that about having a house. I'm like, I was so terrified about the commitment of having a mortgage, and now I'm like, oh, it's so much better having a house than renting.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. It just feels very natural.
Wow. Oh, this is fantastic.
Go.
And your entire...
What have you been watching then?
Well, I'm going to answer this for you in I think this will please you. Well, actually, let's first talk about the fact that I finished both Bloodlines and True Detective.
Bloodline and True Detective.
Fair play. Wow. You've done your homework.
Heavy stuff for Fife there, I think.
I finished them both a while ago. This is pre-child.
Yes.
Okay, well, look, we'll go into them, but let's just do simple question first, Fife. If you had to take just one of those on the spaceship, which one would you take on first?
True Detective. Which one would I take with me or take off?
No, that one. And which series was it, the first one or the second?
Yeah, I haven't watched the new one yet.
Don't bother.
I thought it was... I mean, they were both very good. I mean, I think Jamie was saying when we last... Was it Jamie? I think was saying, you know, Bloodlines gets better, and it did. Bloodlines definitely improved as it went on. But I still think True Detective edges it a lot.
I kind of agree with you. Yeah.
If you like, the guy in Bloodline, the dude
well,
who's on
a few
the,
of them.
Well, the guy
Kyle Chandler,
the guy who's on the cover of the
yeah,
picture.
Yeah.
Oh right, yeah.
He
yeah.
is in Friday Night Lights, which is on Netflix.
Oh yeah, I've watched that.
Have you watched
Very
it?
Good.
I'm only a couple of episodes in, and I am amazed.
It's great. It's American football, but
it's about American football, and I almost cried at the first episode. Oh, I mean, it's just amazing.
Gets really good. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
yeah so okay. that might be a next step. So right. you've done them too. Well done.
I thought the speech that McConaughey. Well, it's not a speech, but the big monologue he gives at the end of the last episode was very powerful.
I thought it was a great ending. I thought it was brilliant. That, you know, that whole ending was that. I thought it was so well done. And I would say to you, Fife, the second series, if you do start it at any point...
is it good?
It's not nowhere near as good as the first one.
I think it's the same as the first one. I think people were overly impressed with the first one. That's my opinion.
Well, I don't know about the quality. The writing seemed brilliant, but the writing may well have seemed more brilliant because of the acting. But I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, not to slag the cast in the current one, but I mean, I think that was a very, very good pair of actors in the lead roles.
Right. I hate to repeat myself, but Hitchcock said he hates whodunits because he said he'd never make another whodunit after the first one he made because it's all tease and no payoff. You can never please people with the payoff.
Right.
And I
right.
did find that with True Detective. Oh, I thought it was an excellent piece of work, but I was like, it is work. This is work.
I don't know if I felt like I think you're making a good point about the writing of it. It's the style of it suits McConaughey and Woody Harrelson to a T, like the style of writing. But when you hear Vince Vaughn doing it, it doesn't work as well. Like there's a few lines he gives in it, and you're like, "What are you talking about?" And whereas if it's McConaughey's character doing it, it has more. It just fits better. It's a better fit. I think casting is so important.
Oh, yeah, it's crucial. And I think for me, like, when someone's acting brilliantly, you really do forget you're watching an actor, and it's just it all totally blends into one. And I thought both of them were really like
I think
that.
You're being harsh on Vince Vaughn, though. Now, you were going to say something else, though, so you've moved on to something else, have you?
I've moved on to something. I think this will please you. I'm going to answer the question. Well, maybe you'd like to ask me what I've been watching since.
What have you been watching since those two box sets? Fine.
Wow, is that like
that's
cartoon
the baby
version?
Wow, so you've been watching Mad Men, yeah?
No.
The West Wing, wow, that's the West Wing theme tune.
I took you up on your recommendation, we took you up.
Brilliant.
We're already halfway through the second series.
Yeah.
It's very good, isn't it?
Now, did you see what I mean about having to get beyond the pilot? Like, it looks very old and very 90s.
We watched the pilot a few years ago and didn't bother watching anymore. So but we started again. And, no, it's great. I mean, it's a lot more humorous than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But I watched a really interesting... there was a fascinating interview that you'll find on YouTube, which is... It's a kind of round table discussion of about six of the main showrunners on things on shows in America. And Aaron Sorkin is there, and the guy that wrote True Detective is there as well.
Yeah, I've
and
seen
the guy
that
did Mad Men. And one of the things he said in that interview, or it might have been another interview, I watched a few with Aaron Sorkin, was he's just fascinated by, he just loves hearing smart people argue.
Yeah.
And like he was like, for me, the biggest obstacle is having a story. Like I would quite happily just have people talk and be no storyline. But, you know, so that's where producers and so on, you know, help and script advisors. But for him, it's obviously all about the conversation. And you really do get that. It's just...
Yeah,
it's just fantastic.
He's so
dialogue.
Great. West Wing is his best work, I think, because he's so great with other people working with him. With Newsroom, it was just so much worse, and I don't recommend going on to Newsroom.
Well,
really,
I've seen the first two of Newsroom, and I really enjoyed it.
It was fine, but it's not the caliber of West Wing in terms of debate and it's smart people arguing. It's still smart people arguing, but maybe because we work in the media and my wife's a journalist and stuff, it's still, although those arguments are smart, they are not arguments that anybody in any newsroom in the world has with each other. Because...
Oh, hang on, Hal. Oh, go on. We might have a crisis here because I hear a slightly crying baby and a doorbell.
Oh, take us
I'm
through
also
it.
I'm not wearing a top.
Just put a top on. Take us with you.
On. Hang on.
Oh,
stay
drama.
With me.
This is exciting. This is what we mean by if you've had a child, your attention's waning, you need something. In fact, the West Wing is perfect. In fact, maybe you should have a child just in order to watch The West Wing. I recommend that. Get pregnant, have a child, watch The West Wing. Now, I wonder where we are. Think he's just left us lying on the bed?
Ooh. Five?
Yeah, he's just left us.
Oh, you can take it as a take us.
Where's his radio intuition? Huh? We could have gone on a journey through the house there. We could have heard the new child. What's his child's name again?
Faden.
Faden.
Faden. Faden. Like Aiden with a F.
That's right. And what will his nickname be? Fady.
Fadester. The Fadester.
Yeah, it's
Faderino.
It's a good name because it's different, but it doesn't lend itself instantly to bullying, does it? It's a good one.
People might call him Fadden, though.
Yeah, they might do. But even that's quite
it's
a good
Faden.
Name.
It's Faden. Oh, I love that argument a
I'm
lot.
I'm so glad
way.
He started West Wing, and if you haven't started West Wing, we just do it. Just do it. Just give it the 4-episode rule. Remember, 4 episodes in, and then you're done. Here he comes.
Yeah, lads.
It's all right.
I must have looked like an absolute mentalist. I hurriedly put the vest on back to front, a bright orange vest. And because my hair's long at the moment, I'm wearing a headband, a little bit like the brother in Bloodlines with aggression issues. I really must have looked quite strange.
Fife, you look like a member of the cast of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest on any normal day. Never mind with a vest on back to front running through that. Okay, good. So, West Wing, you're loving. Favourite character, obviously, Josh or Toby? I mean, the president, mind she.
Yeah, I think I really, they're so brilliant, so many of them.
Yeah.
I don't think the thing I also feel watching it is just, don't you just, how amazing would it be if you actually had a president like that?
I know, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm very aware when you're watching it that it's like, this is, it's the sort of sugar it's very much the kind of jelly baby version of what politics is really like compared to
maybe
House of Cards.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, that's I think how we got to it, wasn't it? Because you watched House of Cards and you're like, right, stick with politics. But I think also a lot of people who... I think what it shows is people's intentions, right? You know how, like, politicians, like people like Tony Blair... Tony Blair is despised for some of the decisions that he made. But from his perspective, he was doing it from an entirely worthy, righteous point of view. So in a way, it's like everybody's got their own different truths on the world, isn't it? And and if you are in a liberal democratic government, I imagine that this kind of is how you think you're trying to behave. And yet House of Cards is perhaps showing how sometimes people do behave because that conflicts with absolute selfishness and greed.
But there's a fundamental difference in that Frank Underwood doesn't have any interest except his own career.
Does he not, though? I don't know. I don't know whether
he think so.
Whether he really believes in a great ideal and he thinks that the way to achieve it is by any means necessary.
I don't think so. I think the only bit where you see him... The only sort of bit where you see him show humanity is with, I can't remember the name of the guy, but the ribs guy.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
And then when he meets up with that old school friend of his that he had some sort of vague romantic thing, you know, that guy. Those are the two bits where I sort of, and with his wife, you know, but...
Yeah.
In terms of looking at the...
But isn't his whole jobs for work thing, and we're not, let's not issue any spoilers, but the whole jobs for work thing, doesn't he really believe in that idea, or is it just a tactic to keep him in office? Is he just seeking power?
I think it's a tactic. I don't think well, maybe it's a fault of the show, but if he is principled, we should see more of it.
Maybe.
Because I don't think you see enough to, I didn't get the impression it was something he really believed in. It seemed to be more finding policies to suit his, you know, who his various allies are at any given time. And
can you think of another time in your life when TV has helped you get through something? That's what we were talking about earlier. When a specific TV series has really matched or been the perfect antidote to a situation?
Not in a kind of, if you mean in the equivalent... The equivalent of a breakup album.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's kind of that.
I can't think of TV. I think for me, I think when I've been in tough times, the TV I turn to is more comfort TV. Whereas I think maybe in music, I might listen to something a bit more heart wrenching.
Yeah, I wonder whether in indie music as we know it, whether
indie music. I hate that term.
I know, but you've got to instantly write off kind of pop music. I suppose what I'm saying.
What does that mean?
What I mean is, for the sake of this discussion, I'm not talking about upbeat bubblegum music. I'm saying introspective music of any kind. Okay. Is that the antidote for a well-off Western or Eastern, but well-off people, like relative to the world, we're in the top richest 5%, all of us.
Yeah.
Is if you have a very, very difficult life, would you want to sit and listen to music that is introspective, or would music be more commonly be a device to cheer you up? For example, Liverpool is a place that has, and the northwest of England where we're from is really traditionally into Northern Soul and Motown and party music, and it's still very strong there, and often in very working class communities you have this real party music because the purpose of music was to go and have a drink and dance. It was all about dancing.
Yeah.
Whereas
I
they
think there's some truth in that, definitely.
Do they want to sit and listen to Five Dangerfield caterwauling about something over some chimes?
I think the big difference with that kind of thing is it's just like great acting or not great acting or great script writing. I think with that kind of music that is introspective, if you like, I think sometimes I often hear that kind of thing and I just feel like I just snap out of it. You're just being, you're just being a crybaby. And I certainly would feel like that about a lot of things I've done in the past, you know, but you hear some tracks and superficially it might sound like a similar thing, but you just feel like this is really cutting deep, and I think that
it's reflecting the way I feel at the moment, and that's why it's good.
I think if something is done well, and it has well, yeah, in the world of entertainment anyway, and all that, something is done well. It does the job. You know?
Yeah, it does, and I think it is about reflection as well, isn't it? It's kind of the same with, I was thinking, to make this about TV, the more downbeat and slower TV box sets. If you are in a point in your life where you've got to do a lot of thinking and a lot of soul searching and things, if somebody is writing something that resonates with that, then it's brilliant, because someone, an artist in a way, has put into words this thing that you're trying to make sense of, and that's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing and helpful. And Jamie's gone quiet.
You're going to write a baby song, Fife?
I don't know. I'm sure all kinds of things will come out. I've generally been wanting to sort of touch a oh God, I'll be careful how I phrase this. touch a child, no, like a kind of childlikeness in the stuff that I'm doing a lot more anyway. I think what, you know, I feel like the biggest criticism I've had of the music I made in my 20s, or you know, was there was too serious.
Too serious.
I don't mean that I want to just do comedy songs, but I think what, you know, it's quite interesting, isn't it, that when you think of things that kids watch, it's all quite fluffy and there's lots of lightness and colour and adventure, and suddenly when we're adults we watch things where people are screaming at each other and shooting each other and sort of, I mean, that's a very, very one-dimensional view of it, but
you know, right.
Why should it be like that? Why as adults shouldn't we be watching things with, you know, talking rabbits or whatever?
Well, my favourite Paul McCartney song when I was a kid was The Frog Chorus. It was, I absolutely loved that song and the video. In fact, my favourite Beatles song overall for a long time was Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Which is about like a guy who goes around killing people with a hammer, but it's funny. Like, it's, you know, it's kind of an interesting like little story in it. You know, you want to write some light-hearted but strange.
What,
know.
I like.
No, well, I agree. I mean, I think something like The Frog Chorus, right? It's so many people could slag that off, but that's comparing it to, I don't know, like, it's not fair to compare that to John Lennon singing Mother or something. It's like they're totally different. They're totally different things, and I think it's so easy to be snobbish about stuff that has love and joy and daftness in it. You know,
like, when you're my favourite though, Fife. You know, your music that I like the best.
I don't know.
The two big singles are two of my favourite, even though I like all of your stuff. But the reason I like Trains to Brazil and Get Over It, right, which I'm sure you'll see off, but the reason I really love those songs is because there is a childlike energy. There's a lot going on. There is a pull in there that is, in a way, telling the world to see the, it's shouting at the world about becoming more childlike. So you kind of already had that in there, you know. You're going, cheer the hell up!
Become a child again!
Yeah. Get over it! You know? And there's kind of, or a sad subject that's made incredibly energetic and just going, come on! Come on!
I think it's
like a cheerleader.
It's the hardest thing to do.
You're like
to
a sports movie.
Yeah, but it's difficult because if you don't do happy... happy sounds too trivial, but songs of joy, if they're done well, I think they're a wonderful thing. But if you don't do them well, it just sounds like someone goes, come on, cheer up. Come
yes.
on, everything's fine.
Awful.
What are you worried about? Everything's fine.
Yeah, yeah. It's so hard. I have such admiration for it. Yeah, it's so hard to do.
I want to do it a lot better, but I always think Brian Wilson's music, the sort of best Beach Boys stuff was like that. And
yeah.
Anyway, great. Sorry, we're getting on to music, and this isn't what
you're... Well, lastly, back to the Lennon-McCartney debate. I have a big argument with my parents about who was the genius, Lennon or McCartney, and I'm like...
Oh, well, let's not get into all this now.
I just want to say McCartney was the guy, underrated, and he's actually quite annoyed, McCartney, because it goes Lennon-McCartney in a lot of the songs, whereas it should be McCartney-Lennon when he wrote a lot of the stuff.
It's interesting, isn't it, the way that we love ranking.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
We're always like, who's the best? What's the best film? What's the best?
Because there's no doubt, when you watch interviews with them and stuff, like, there is no doubt that Paul McCartney was a phenomenal, and still is, a phenomenal businessman. He's an entertainer. He's the guy. He's the Howl to John Lennon's Jamie.
Because I'd take that.
No, I'm comparing us to Lennon and McCartney.
I was like various adverts, email adverts and so on. I was getting. I've lost the ability to speak. Let's try again. When I was getting Guillemots together, I had various replies by email to adverts for a new member in the band, and I got there was one that was like, I guess I'm kind of looking for the McCartney to my Lennon.
Oh,
that's all right. That's fine.
Talks about themselves like that. That's just.
But it's my Lennon. It's not. I am Lennon. I am.
No, I know, but it's
what I'm saying is, I think when there's a double act, they work really well because one of them thinks more on an entertainer's perspective, where they're going, what does the audience want? What does the business need? What does all that need? And the other one is more, by nature, a kind of art student, which John Lennon was. So all of his interviews are about the art. He's obsessed about having integrity. And Jamie's not obsessed by that, but Jamie is much less likely to say something cheesy or sell out or horrific than I am, and that both of us probably need each other in that equation, one to make the other more accessible and the other to make give the other one a bit more integrity.
I really don't like this conversation.
We are better than the Beatles, who were better than Jesus, so you do the maths.
But about your point about charts and ranking, so I think the only good thing about like ranking in top 10 films or top 10 TV is pointing people in directions. Like, it's not necessarily the right or in the right order, but you can point at stuff and go, this is good.
But you can't with Lennon and McCartney. You can't.
You can rank them.
Anyway,
I'd say McCartney, Springsteen,
Lennon.
Bob Dylan.
As much as I adore the Beatles, coming back to the subject of your podcast.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. One thing I do really like in the West Wing is that it sort of unashamedly does have those moments where it is a slightly syrupy version of things to a degree, but you need those moments and things where you watch someone being good to someone else and you feel that stir and you're like, oh god, I want to be more like that, and it's so easy to slide that kind of thing off. But
people are sentimental.
Is it
not just people are sentimental, because what is sentimental is one of these words I never fully understand the meaning of. I just mean in the sense that stuff that other people would say is sentimental, I just sort of think it's just good-spirited. Like, why sentimental implies somehow a lack of depth. And I find that odd, that it's I don't know.
It's quite a snobby thing to criticise, isn't it? I mean, and that's what I mean, is that people... the way that sentiment is portrayed in, or the way that West Wing presents moments of honesty like that, is reflected. That's how people feel. Sometimes I look at my rabbit and my wife and I go, I'm the luckiest man in the world. And it's as simple as that.
And I think I feel like too often we're made to feel that if we do have a moment where we think, God, I love my life and I'm lucky, that we're somehow being sentimental saps or something. Whereas I think having those moments of appreciation is really quite key to having a good life.
But I think it's a really, like, as far as Aaron Sorkin stuff goes, it's a really tough line. And in The West Wing, he gets it right nearly like 99.9% of the time. But if you watch Newsroom, there are scenes in that that are cheesy. Not sentimental, but just like cringeworthy cheese, where it's like, oh my god, this is not how it's not real, it's just that it's so almost pretentious, because there's a scene where they're all like in the newsroom shouting over each other and there's Coldplay's Fix You playing in the background and you're kind of like, oh no.
Yeah,
it's kind of the difference between letting the audience decide when something has depth and meaning and telling the audience, this has depth and meaning. I think he walks that line. It's a hard line to walk.
He gets it right in West Wing so much. That's why you know what you're saying is correct, because he totally... That's why West Wing's so good, because it does nail it, and it's got some great actors in it.
And do you know what?
And it is very, very much led by, you know, which I said earlier on, but very much led by conversation. Which I think those are definitely the things I prefer than story-based things.
Yeah.
Like, I sometimes can't fully follow the political element of it. It was the same in House of Cards. Like, sometimes when it gets more complicated, I get a bit lost about the meetings that happen.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, I don't really mind, because I just like listening to the characters. And also, another thing about it, which is, well, I, I said earlier on as well, but it's the humour, I think, is like the episode, I won't get spoilers, but the one where CJ, she's been to the dentist and is talking. Do you remember her mouth kind of...
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's just ridiculous. And she's talking, you know, the whole episode, like, I don't know, just things like that where it's just dark. And I think that's...
Yeah.
I always like a bit of darkness.
Me too. And let's end on asking people, what's your favourite sentimental moment in any film or TV show? Studio at theboxsetpod.com. I'll give you an example of where I think it's left to the audience in a Disney animation is in Tangled, right?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, man, you've got to watch Tangled.
Hey, now you got a kid.
Very, very underrated. And the song in it, which is called... all my life chasing a daydream. What's it called?
I've not seen Tangled.
What?
I've seen 20 minutes of it.
Oh my God. Get both of you. You need to watch Tangled, right? There's one of the most stunning scenes in the middle where they're on a boat and there's lanterns going up in the air. And a previously very hard character is just watching somebody else being amazed by this view. And you're just watching him, and it's really emotional because you realise what he's thinking while he's watching somebody else. And that's a great example of letting the audience democratically decide when something is moving rather than whacking them around the head with it, you know. But it is a beautiful moment. Oh, you need to watch Tangled, you two. Go and watch it. Fife, congratulations on having a baby.
Thank you, Fife.
Good luck with the next 18 years. We'll speak to you round about then. And okay. Thank you. And keep on the West Wing.
Yeah, well, I've got, what is it, 7 series or something, so, yeah.
Yeah, and watch Tangle, because me and you are going to do the duet in it, all right?
Okay.
That's the big thing about West Wing as well. It's 20 episodes a series, isn't it? I mean, you couldn't possibly keep, like, a plot, you know, an overarching plot going for 24 episodes.
That's one of the only annoying things about it, that they seem to just drop plot at the end of an episode. Like, you know, in the first series, I can't remember her name, but there's the press, not CJ, but
Mandy.
She just vanishes.
She gets ditched because she wasn't. This is true. She wasn't popular with the audience, so they removed her from the show.
I didn't like
her.
I thought she was such a weak.
No explanation.
It's so funny, isn't it?
That's it.
She never comes back.
They could surely have created a little scenario for her.
I'm sure there's a line where someone says, "Where's Mandy?" And they go, "She went to Africa."
That's hilarious.
Right, studio at theboxsetpod.com. Most sentimental moments. Let us know. And don't forget, we want to give away this box set of Entourage to someone. Fife's winning it so far. So email studio at theboxsetpod.com. See you next week.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.